Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Angelo Zanetti. He has a software development background and today is the co-CEO of Elemental, helping businesses innovate since 2005. Angelo, welcome to the show.
Hey, Thomas. Thanks a lot. Really excited to be here and thanks for the intro.
Absolutely. So let's dive in with thinking about where you fit in the modern technology ecosystem.
Sure. Yeah. So where we fit in is we build a lot of products, right? Tech products. So those can be complex websites, SaaS websites, mobile apps, web apps, anything custom tech related that runs in a browser, we build it, right? We design and build it. And that's where we fit in. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so helping folks innovate, do you work with a lot of startups?
Yeah, we work with quite a lot of startups. So a lot of people that have seen very specific solutions to certain industries and they've got this idea and their solution solves a specific problem. So we'll work with them and help them figure out what that idea is in their head and basically extrapolate it into a fully fledged product, design it, build it, launch it, and guide them along the way to help them build it. Yeah.
Yeah. And now for the audience who are very interested in the marketplace, what's going on out there, from what you talk to a lot of business owners, and you've been doing this for a long time, for 20 years at Elemental, what are some of the trends that you're seeing and what does the landscape right now look like?
I think the trends now are that a lot of people are using AI to test out theories, to build proof of concepts, prototypes, and they're taking their own vision and creating some sort of, as I said, prototype, which is great because then it visualizes it a bit. It takes it from just a concept and idea and you can see it and walk through it. But what I can also say is that it ends there, right? It's not really a tool that you can launch with and go to market with. But so we're seeing that. We're getting approached with a lot of people that have built stuff on Lovable and they've taken it to a certain point and they're like, we need your help, please. We need to take this thing and launch it. And we're like, it's good for what it was meant to do as a prototype or as a proof of concept, but this is not really the right platform to build a proper product, which is going to grow and be robust and scale in the future. So yeah, we help them evolve it from an idea to a fully fledged product.
So let's double click on that a little bit, because I know a lot of founders who are trying to take advantage of the technology that's out there and they don't have budgets to build things. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden in this AI revolution, we have all of these magical tools that come out, Bolt AI, Lovable. It seems to be the one, I think Lovable seems to be the one that's separating itself from the pack a little bit.
Yeah, Lovable. Yeah, Lovable's popular. They raised a lot of money now recently. Replit's also quite popular. So yeah, to touch on, I think where you're going with this question is, I think because they've got limited budget, they're playing around, they're vibe coding, they're building stuff. But what I think it's good for is to validate. Is it speak to your target audience? Does this proof of concept, does it actually solve a problem that you have and you're my target ICP? And if so, great. And if not, how could I change this to work with that? And then using that, you're getting a bit of data. You're indirectly getting traction. And you can also use it to approach investors to say, listen, I don't just have this idea. Have a look at it. It's a little bit more than just an idea. So I think it's ticking those two boxes slightly and you're moving, kicking the can down the road a little bit more, but you're not getting to the end result. But I think it's serving a good purpose at that stage of a founder's journey.
It's serving some kind of a purpose, but how far does it take them? AI can do lots of amazing things. It can write papers. It can do music. It can do apps and things like that. But there's, from my understanding, and you can fill in the gaps, because if you have clients who are coming to you with a lovable prototype and they want you to build something real, I think you have a pretty strong understanding of what the gaps are. And so let me give you this example, and then you could tell me what the probable gaps are. I'm a founder, and I have an idea to help, I don't know, small business owners manage. I don't know. Let's go with the CRM because that's such a standard kind of a thing, right? To manage their clients and they can go and do their sales stuff and they can make long lists of prospects and then they can bring them to a pipeline. And so then I go to Lovable and I say, okay, I want to build it. On the first screen is going to be a list of prospects. And then it gives me some kind of a list, but you click things and they don't do anything. Okay, now I want it to do something when you click this button, right? Is that okay? Now I want there to be a status for each of these things. And so they build this out and they're able to click through and show people. They want to show investors, want to show folks. They show you and they say, hey, Angelo, we really need help. Turn this into a real thing. What are some of the things that are missing to this founder who might have previously thought that they could build themselves a tool totally with Lovable, but then they realize they need help with it? What are some of the gaps?
Yeah, so it's a good question and it's a good analogy or a good example. So I think some of the gaps are security. So these platforms are notorious for getting hacked by hackers. It's just open the playground and they're having a field day. I think the second thing is that people that are building tech vibe coding that are founders, but they've got no tech background, they're not thinking of a lot of things that should be thought about, right? I'll elaborate on that a bit more. So when we build software, we always need to cater for all scenarios. We don't cater just for the perfect scenario where everything works perfectly. So let me give an example. If you are building a, let's just say the CRM, and then there's some sort of, I don't know, integration into another platform, or maybe it does a credit score check on a person and it's using a third party for that. Now, what happens if that credit score system is down? Now, you don't have that data. Now, how do you bypass that? What are the user journeys around that? Is the user just stuck and sorry, you can't continue? Or do you give them alternative user journeys and options? Our jobs as developers and as designers of software is always to think about the exceptions, all the different scenarios that are not obvious and but can happen and need to be catered for. And I think the other thing is that usability-wise, a lot of these AI tools, they're not bad. They don't look bad. They're actually quite visually appealing from a look and feel point of view, and I see you nodding your head, but I think from a UX point of view, so there's a big difference between like things looking good and things working well. So maybe you've got like a three-step process, and then on step two, it doesn't really make sense. And now you've got to click somewhere and scroll up to the top to go. And the usability is again something that needs to be thought about. And often these tools lack a little bit about that, or the user generating the code through vibe coding isn't skilled in thinking about usability. So I think those are some of the shortfalls.
Yeah, those are really good examples. In fact, for that last example, I want to elaborate on that. It's already the case that even before AI, that designers in recent years can just start with templates and they can just throw these finished looking templates into a design. Now, if you're not a skilled designer and you're not really thinking things through, you just say, and everyone will look at the screens and be like, wow, that's beautiful. That's looks finished to me. Because in the previous age, for something to look that good, it had to be thought through. If something looked that polished and wonderful in the year 2010, that means there was a big design team thinking through a lot of stuff, building a lot of stuff. And so then we still have that memory of, oh, this is finished. It did the thing. But then you start looking at it, you start clicking around, and there's the exceptions aren't taken care of. Things don't make sense. In fact, I've used some software from founders who have built really good tools, some folks who I've interviewed on this show, and I went to use their tool. And for some of them, a minority of them, I could tell that this was vibe coded. This isn't really thought through. It looks really polished, but I can't use it. You can't convert me as a customer because it's not a tool. It's something that still looks like a tool. And we've fooled ourselves into thinking that it's finished. Yeah, elaborate on that. And then I've got a follow-up question.
Yeah, think you've hit the nail on the head there. And that makes me think about the famous quote from Steve Jobs, where he says, if the user's got a problem, it's our problem. So if someone's trying to navigate or go through certain steps or complete certain forms or whatever it is, and they're stuck and they're frustrated, you've lost them. Especially now in this day and age, time is finite, attention spans are very limited. And people are wanting instant gratification. They want to complete the process, complete the form, sign up, whatever it is they want to do, pay, book something. So make it as simple and easy as possible. And I think it's actually hard to make something simple, easy. It's almost like that letter that, who was it? The Prime Minister of the UK, Churchill, he said, I've written you a long letter because I didn't have time to write you a short letter, because it's much more difficult to make it so streamlined and polished.
And to elaborate on that a little bit more for the audience, reality is always much more complex than the simple, idyllic idea in our minds. So if we're a product team and we're like, oh, okay, this is how the tool should flow. It should start at this screen. And then of course someone will know to click here, and then they end up on that screen. And then obviously they'll know to do this, and then they'll end up on the last screen. And the reality is, when you sit and you watch users do things, they're all over the place. They're looking all over the place. They think things that you wouldn't have thought. And the reason why we have to spend so much time thinking about exceptions as designers and developers is because that's the reality. The real path in real life is folks are going to be going in all different directions. And if you haven't thought that through, you haven't built anything. You just have a concept flow, and that's a starting point to build from. And so here's my follow-up question to all of this is, when someone comes to you with a vibe-coded prototype, can you even start from that code directly, or you have to build it again from scratch anyway?
We have to build it again from scratch. So we can use what they've got as a sort of a base reference point. And there are potentially certain user journeys that are fairly well mapped out, which we can use as a kind of a scope of work. But then there are certain things that from a UX point of view don't work, from a development or functionality point of view don't work. So I think it's also, what are those gaps? What hasn't been thought about? And then we need to complete the puzzle and put in all those missing pieces to make a really good product to launch with. And even if it's an MVP, there's still these little exceptions and things you don't see but need to be considered and included.
So, Angelo, is it fair to say then that in most cases, or even tell me if it's in all cases, the starting vibe-coded app that the founder is building is not going to directly be your MVP? At best, it's probably going to be a requirements doc. It's going to be a really well-articulated idea that you can communicate to someone. You can communicate your idea better to someone because you've got something that has a click flow, but it itself will not be your actual MVP in most cases. Is that?
Yeah, in most cases, I would say that is correct. I think if it's a really simple concept, like a landing page or something, then that's fine. It can do that. But I think where there's a little bit of complexity and functionality and data saving and API keys and security factors that need to be considered, I think you wouldn't want to do that, launch an MVP as a sort of an AI prototype. The other thing is, when you do launch an MVP to your target market, you've got one shot where you've got to make a really good first impression. I know in Silicon Valley and a lot of these startup books, it's just get this thing to market, launch it, even if it's got bugs, and then fix it once it's live. And we don't agree with that approach. We want to get it really polished, make a really good first impression, make the users love it, make them advocates of the platform where they're going to tell their friends and family and colleagues about it. And then that'll also drive people to come and use that platform. They're wowed.
Yeah. So how do you engage with your clients in general? Folks, you give one example here where folks have an idea, and then you say, you prescribe, here's the work that it's going to take, and then we're going to push this to prod in X amount of time.
So we start typically with a discovery session. So that's where we'll work with the client, we'll extrapolate all their sort of ideas. We'll document it. We'll specify the scope of work. We'll even challenge them on some of their ideas, because some founders, they're quite ego-driven. They want to include certain features, and it's, your MVP doesn't need that. So we'll act as that sort of sounding board, and we'll scope it out and then work together and define what is the MVP scope of work. Great, let's sign it off. Let's start designing. Let's build. Let's go live. And then from there, we can look at introducing more advanced features or nice to have features. I always use the analogy of a house. You never start putting bricks down and start laying foundations without the architect designing the blueprint of the house. So we feel it's really important to do that blueprint up front, work together, think about certain things and clarify it together. And then I think it's really good for the long-term success of the product.
Yeah. And do you work with folks just regionally for the audience? Angelo lives in South Africa. Do you work with folks all over the world or mainly regionally?
Yeah, we work with clients all over. We've actually got a few US clients that we're working with right now, so that's been great. We've got some of the UK we're working with, some of the EU we're working with, and then we've obviously got a lot of South African clients with us being based here. But yeah, we're able to work with people all over the world. Yeah, with technology, it makes it really possible.
Yeah, nice stuff. Okay, where can folks find out and hear more from you and also get started with working with Elemental?
Yeah, so you can check us out at elemental.agency. So that's elemental.agency. You can find me on LinkedIn, Angelo Zanetti. Yeah, and those are two ways to get in touch with us.
Awesome. Angelo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Thomas. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Likewise. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.